بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 3rd of November in the year 2017 الحمد لله this is now the 4th session that we're going through the virtues of the awesome pillar of Hajj and also the Umrah. And yesterday I mentioned the holy verse where our loving Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 97. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Fihi ayatum bayyinatum maqamu Ibrahim. In it, i.e. the Haram, are signs manifest. For instance, the station of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says that there are ayatum bayyinat in the Haram. There are clear signs in the Haram. And yesterday I mentioned a few of those clear signs. I mentioned the blessed black stone, which is from paradise. I mentioned the maqam itself of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which also was from paradise, or is from paradise. I mentioned that the holy prophets are buried alayhi salatu wasalam in the Haram. So all of these are the clarification upon this holy verse. Also another sign in the Haram is the blessed Yemeni corner. So just to insult your intelligence, the holy Kaaba is in a cube structure. If you were to take the bottom right corner as the black stone corner, the Yemeni corner is the one that's to its left. So what do we know about this blessed corner? Hafiz Azraqi Rahmatullah Ali in his Tariq Makkah 1-338. Hafiz Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali in his Sharh Musnad Abi Hanifa page 25. Ata ibn Abi Rabah rahmatullah alayhi relates, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was asked why he touches the Yemeni corner so often. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, whenever I pass it, I see Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam seeking forgiveness for those who touch it. Subhanallah. So let's look at this amazing report. So the companions asked, radiallahu ta'ala, why do you keep touching the Yemeni corner, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the corner just before the black stone? And look at his amazing response. Whenever I pass it, I see who? The greatest angel of all. I see Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's seeking forgiveness. For who? For those who touch it. Subhanallah. So anybody who touches the Yemeni corner, the archangel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is seeking forgiveness for that individual. Note the immense significance. Namely, it is not one's own supplication for forgiveness, but the archangel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam's supplication on our behalf. Subhanallah. So like I mentioned, I think a few nights prior, whenever you get a report where the holy prophet's making a supplication, it's not you now. Obviously, we've got problems. Many reasons why our supplications don't get answered. But if the Holy Prophet's making the supplication, all of that is non-existent. This is one of the rare hadith where Jibreel is making a dua for you. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And what did I mention yesterday? The black stone, Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he was covered in dust. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam asked him, because why do I see you like this? Or Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And what did Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam say? Because I've just come from the corner of the black stone, and it was crowded with angels, and the dust which you see is from the fluttering of their wings. So note, he's there. But in this report, it mentions in the Yemeni corner, he's making a dua for all those who touch that corner. Similarly, Ata ibn Abi Rabah rahmatullah alayhi, he elucidated. Hafiz Azraqi rahmatullah alayh in his Tariq Makkah 1-339. Whoever places his hand on the Yemeni corner, then supplicates, his supplication will be accepted. SubhanAllah. Whoever places his hand on the Rukn al-Yamani, the Yemeni corner, then supplicates, his supplication will be accepted. So it's another endless sacred area in which supplications are graciously answered. In a very famous report, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever touches the Yemeni corner, his sins are forgiven. This is in Tirmidhi, and Tabarani and Targhib. So touching it secures the forgiveness of your sins. Another report says, Jibreel's making a dua for your forgiveness, alayhi salatu wasalam. Another report says, make a dua there. It's a place where duas get answered. It is also important to point out that only touching the Yemeni corner is proven from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not kiss it, nor did he kiss his hands after touching it, unlike the black stone. Hafiz ibn Qayyim, he commented upon this, rahmatullah alayhi, in Zadul Ma'ad. It is proven that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched the Yemeni corner, but it is not proven that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed it or kissed his hands after touching it. So the scholars have mentioned this clearly. Why? Hafiz Qasdalani rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Mawahib, he elucidated a possible wisdom of this when he said, the black stone has two virtues. Firstly, it is the black stone from paradise. And secondly, it is upon the foundations laid by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The Yemeni corner is just on the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and the other two corners have neither these virtues, and thus the first, i.e. the black stone, is kissed. The second, the Yemeni corner, is just touched, and the other two are neither touched nor kissed. So this is one possible explanation. Each corner is different. Why is the black stone Hajr al-Aswad honored above the other corners? So a logical answer is the stone is from paradise. And it's the original Kaaba, where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam raised the Kaaba. Two honors. The Yemeni corner is the original corner where Ibrahim raised the Kaaba alayhi salatu wasalam. But there's nothing from paradise. It's only given one honor. So due to that, the Prophet possibly did not kiss it or kiss his hands after touching it. The other two corners, the Sham, the corner of Ash-Sham, and the corner of Iraq, nothing is done there. You don't touch it, you don't kiss it. Why? Because it's not got any of the virtues. It's not an original corner of the Kaaba. Why? Because the Kaaba is initially rectangular. So the other two corners aren't the original corners. Nor is there anything from paradise. So note, whatever the Prophet does, is not just like haphazard or by chance he was doing it. So the Lord is his wisdom. And why he kissed the black stone, and he kissed his hands and touched it, and only touched the Yemeni corner. But we don't need to know the wisdom. The scholars elucidate upon this. We just follow our beloved messengers of Allah. So note, these are some of the signs around the Holy Kaaba. I'm going to mention Zamzam, inshallah, as well. All of this helps to explain that blessed verse. In it are clear signs. So now, moving on to other virtues of the blessed pilgrimage and also the Umrah. So during the Hajj and Umrah, a pilgrim shaves his hair. What are the virtues of shaving your hair? In Al-Haythami, in Majma' al-Zawa'id, number 5648 or 3-599, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as shaving your head is concerned, you will receive a reward and a sin will be forgiven for each hair that is shaved. Subhanallah. As far as shaving your head is concerned, you will receive a reward and a sin will be forgiven for each hair that is shaved. So if you've got 100,000 hairs, if you shave it, you've got 100,000 good deeds and 100,000 sins are forgiven. So just for simply shaving your hair. In another report, it mentions, in Al-Haythami, in Majma' al-Zawa'id, number 5650 or 3-602, some of the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, What if his sins are less than the hair on his head? In other words, you say that he gets an equal number of sins forgiven. But what if he's got less sins? And he's got more hair? The Prophet ﷺ said, then it will be kept as a reward for you in the hereafter. So note the questions the Sahaba asked. You know, we're not like us asking the most, you know, stupid questions, let alone intelligent questions. Did you even think of that? The very fact that they're asking these shows, like they were listening very intently to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were thinking, you know, very good question, excellent question. If you got 100,000 hairs on your head, that means 100,000 sins are forgiven. But if you only got 10,000 sins, what's happened to the 90,000 sins? That's supposed to be forgiven. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that's kept as a reward for you. Nothing's lost. So note, let me ask you a question. When our beloved messenger shaved his hair, you work it out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in another report, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ibn Hibban in his Sahih number 1887 or 5-607, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid number 5651 or 3-603. As for shaving your head is concerned, then no hair falls to the ground, except it will be a light for you on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. As for shaving your head is concerned, then no hair falls to the ground, except it will be a noor, a light for you on the Day of Judgment. So now this report is another virtue. I've mentioned many times, light or noor is essential for a believer on the Day of Judgment, because that is what distinguishes you from the munafiq. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that I will recognize you with the noor. So one of the excellent ways to acquire noor is to shave your hair during the Hajj and Umrah. So simply put, in summary, thus for this ritual, your sins are forgiven, good deeds are accrued, and the much needed and precious light will be given to you on the awesome inevitable day. SubhanAllah, think about that. So note every single thing you're doing. There's so much virtue, blessings, and why you're doing that. Think about that. You know, you shave, you go, why do I keep shaving my hair? You know, people ask this question, I'm trimming it, I'm shaving it. And if somebody goes, you, these are the virtues, he will never ask that question again. He will think, I wish I could do it more. So again, note shaving the hair. What about pelting the stones? So this deed is exclusively for Hajj. When you do Umrah, you shave your hair. But pelting the shayateen is only during the Hajj. But what is the virtue of this? In Tabarani, Bazar Ibn Hibban, Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 8830 or 5-16. Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Ali authenticates it in Sahih Al-Jami, number 1360 or 1-289. Abdullah Ibn Abbas, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reward of your pelting the jamarat is stored away for you in your treasure. SubhanAllah. The reward of your pelting the jamarat is stored away for you in your treasure. A sahih hadith in the Quran. So the Prophet didn't even articulate it. He just said there's something immense that's reserved for you when you throw the stones at the shaitan. Thus, what would be this immense treasure graciously reserved for us? In a similar report, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find its reward with your Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you need it the most. Subhanallah. You will find it, the reward, with your Lord, for throwing the stones at the shayateen, when you need it the most. This is in Targheeb, number 1831, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 5587, or 3-575. So note again, he didn't mention the virtue. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned when you need it the most, is there for you. Indeed, in another report, in Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 5651, or 3-603-4, Ubadah ibn al-Samit al-Badri, radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as your pelting of the jamarat is concerned, undoubtedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then he recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah As-Sajdah, Surah 32, verse 17. A'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajim. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَّا أُخْفِيَ لَهُم مِّن قُرَّةٍ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا قَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No soul knows what pleasures are hidden for him, i.e. in paradise, as a reward for the deeds he carried out. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this beautiful hadith. So in this report, the Prophet is giving tafsir. So there's a very famous verse, you hear it in bayans quite often when you're talking about paradise. The Quran, Surah 32, verse 17 says, no soul knows what pleasures are hidden for him, for a reward for the deeds he carried out. Question, what deeds? The Quran doesn't mention the deeds. The Prophet said, when you pelt the shayateen, undoubtedly Allah Ta'ala says, and he recited this verse. So what is the Quran telling you? Paradise is the reward for pelting the shayateen. Think about that. Paradise. So when you throw in the stones at the shaytans, the Prophet is saying, this is worthy of paradise itself. Think about that. And yet, when you ask Hajis, what's the reward for stoning the shaitan? How many people will tell you? You say, brother, it's a stored treasure. It'll be there when you need it the most. In fact, Allah Ta'ala mentions it in the Quran. No soul knows what pleasures are hidden for him as a reward for the deeds he carries out. SubhanAllah. Also in Tabarani Hasan, the Prophet said, for each stone that you throw at the shayateen, one major sin is forgiven. SubhanAllah. Think about that. Normally a major sin, you have to repent. But the Prophet said, it's such an awesome deed. One takes away one major sin. And that's why when there's elderly people or people who are ill, who can't throw the stones at the shaitan, you should rush to do it for them. Not only as an act of kindness, but you will also get more of your major sins forgiven. So you'll say to the elderly gentleman, I'll do it, don't worry uncle, you stay here. So 21 more major sins forgiven, imagine, for helping uncle. So note, incredible virtues all the way through, right the way through the Hajj. Each and every one, Allah Ta'ala has given you so much rewards. Then in Mina, now what's interesting, most of the time as a Haji, you will spend in Mina. The Hajj is performed around in four places: Makkah, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah. So even if you haven't done the Hajj, that's worth memorizing. Hajj is done in four places: Makkah, Mina, Arafat, and Muzdalifah. Out of the four, you would have expected to spend most of the time as a Haji in Makkah. Guess what? You don't. Most of the time as in the state of Ihram, as a Haji, you're in Mina. So what's special about Mina? There's a masjid there called Masjid al-Khayf in Mina. And there's an amazing report about this masjid. In Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawa'id 3-297, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Hassan Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 70 prophets alayhi salatu wa sallam have prayed in Masjid al-Khayf. SubhanAllah. 70 prophets alayhi salatu wa sallam have prayed in Masjid al-Khayf. So this is an authentic report. Question, what are the prophets doing there? So a person could say, oh, they just, it was by coincidence they were there and they offered a prayer there. Rubbish. The prophets are doing Hajj. The Hajj isn't just for this Ummah. The Hajj was actually a deed that was joined upon the previous Ummahs. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam certainly, and thereafter. And also Adam alayhi salatu wasalam reports mentioned this. So in that masjid in Mina, imagine, 70 prophets have prayed. Look at these fruitcakes. They're running around all over the world, where saints have prayed. Because Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, this is the place where he spent 20 years doing this and that. MashaAllah, brother. Why don't you go Masjid al-Khayf? Then the guy looks at you, he goes, what's happening there? Because 70 prophets prayed there. I think they're slightly higher than Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. Right? So note, when you're doing the Hajj, Allah Ta'ala is giving you all these gifts. And Masjid al-Khayf, they've expanded it now, but still, during the Hajj, it's very hard to enter the masjid. But you make intention. You try your best to get it. If you can't get it, and pray outside. But you're praying in a masjid where 70 prophets have prayed. Imagine, alayhi salatu wasalam. But who are mentioned? Okay, 70, we don't need to know their names. But just out of interest, curiosity, have you got a name? Yes. In Targheeb number 1761, Al-Haythami in Majma Az-Zawaid number 5768 or 369, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, 70 prophets have prayed in Masjid Al-Khif, amongst whom was Musa. Seventy prophets have prayed in Masjid Al-Khif, amongst whom was Musa. Imagine. Doesn't that make you happy? Thinking, you know, we're hearing his name, he's the most frequently mentioned prophet in the Quran. Mentioned over 100 times in the Quran, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Doesn't it make you happy to know that at least once in your life, you're in the masjid where he prayed? Imagine, subhanAllah, just to be in a place where that great man prayed, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that also shows that Bani Israel did the Hajj. You know, if you ask the Jewish community now, tell me about Makkah, nothing special. And look how they either lying or they become ignorant of Makkah. And yet, it clearly mentions in the Bible to this day, the Valley of Baqa. Ask them. Say, are you Christian? Yes. Are you Jew? Yes. Is the Valley of Baqa mentioned in your book? And if they don't know, then go and have fish and chips, right? But if they know, they go, yeah, it's mentioned. What's Baqa? Ask them. Because it's a valley. Well, I could have told you that, but where is it? And their learned people say, it's Makkah. It's an old name for Makkah. Then you say, I'm a bit confused, John, or whoever it is. Why is Makkah mentioned in your book and you have no place for it in your religion? The blessed valley of Makkah, it mentions that in the Bible. If it's blessed and you've got no connection to it, why is it mentioned? Look how strange. So we're saying it is a holy place. And guess what? As a Jew, you should be ashamed of yourself. Because Moses, peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, he went there and he prayed there. Imagine. Now, why did they stop going? There's reports, it mentions in the books of Seerah, that the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, they would go and offer the Hajj. The Bani Israel continued that sunnah, or that tradition. But then the Arabs, the Jahiliyyah Arabs, started building idols. So when they built the idols around the Kaaba, the Bani Israel thought, forget that. We're not going to a place where there's idol worship, which was probably a reasonable thing on their part. But what happened? When our beloved messenger came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was purified. So straight away, they should have thought, right, it's purified. Let's go back now. In fact, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us what we know, what we already know. He's telling us about the Hajj. But they don't mention it. Imagine. This is why the Hajj is a pillar of Islam, because we are following the tradition of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. We're not making anything up. So note Masjid Al-Khayf, such a holy place in Mina. Now think about this. Abu Huraira, if I was to ask you, how deep was the knowledge of Sayyidina Abu Huraira? So obviously he was a scholar of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, narrated most of the hadiths. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said about Masjid Al-Khayf, if I were one of the people of Makkah, no Friday would come without me praying there. If I were one of the people of Makkah, there would not be a single Jummah where you would find me there. I'll be praying in Masjid Al-Khif. This is recorded by Hafiz Al-Faqihi Rahmatullah Ali in his Akhbar Makkah 4-271 with a Hassan chain of transmission. Now think about this. Why did he say he would leave the Haram? 100,000, the Holy Kaaba. Because I would pray Masjid Al-Khif. What was he highlighting? He was actually making you curious. Querying this. Why is he saying that? But then you look at the virtues. Oh, right. You want to get it? The prophets prayed there. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine, he had that much love for that holy Masjid. Masjid Al-Khif. What else do you know about Mina? There's reports. There's one report in Nasa'i. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, 70 prophets were born in Mina. And he actually mentioned a tree. 70 prophets were born. Imagine, the mothers of the prophets went there, alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's look at this report. 70 prophets were born there. So just use your akal. Okay, so obviously it was the mother of a prophet who was in Mina. What was she doing there? So you don't have to be a Sherlock Holmes to work it out. Oh, right. So it's a mother of a prophet. She may have been a wife of a prophet as well. So obviously she's doing Hajj. So look how beautiful. When these noble women came to perform the Hajj, when they gave birth, Allah Ta'ala bestowed prophethood upon their sons. Why? Because where were they? Blackpool. Right? They were in Mina. Think about that. Now when people go to Mina, this is the first thing they start saying. Can't wait to get back to Makkah. Can't wait to get back to the hotel. Can't wait to get out of this tent. And the reason they're talking like that is because they have no idea where they are. All they're thinking is, we're in a godforsaken place. There's no air conditioning. I can't even find my tent. There's dust everywhere. What am I doing here? And there you go. That's your research into the Hajj. Congratulations. If you knew where you were, you'd think, I don't mind all these hardships. This is one of the holiest places on earth. 70 prophets were born here. Allahu Akbar. 70 prophets prayed here, including Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. So note, Hajj is just full of history, full of blessings. When you go, you should be looking forward to all these treasures that Allah has graciously given. So note, Masjid al-Khayf is something that we should obviously look forward to offering, to praying there. And what did I mention when I was going through the life of Abdullah ibn Umar? Where did he die? Yeah. Radiya Allahu anhu. Mina. He passed away in Mina. What have we been just talking about for the last 10 minutes? Bounds there. Right? So Abdullah ibn Umar, when he was martyred by Hajjaj bin Yusuf, where did he pass away? Mina. And look what people say ignorantly. Oh, why couldn't he have just died in Makkah? MashaAllah. Well done. Right? As if Mina's like, you know, he's so unfortunate. 70 prophets prayed there. 70 prophets were born there. It's a holy place. Most of the Hajis spend their time there. That's the place where you throw the stones at the shayateen, where you get all those virtues just mentioned. That's the place where you shave your hair, and the virtues I've already mentioned. So all I mentioned today was basically some of the awesome virtues now of Mina, the related rituals that are there. And note, everything is graciously blessed by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And note, when you talk about the virtues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a desire for you to do that deed. You notice this. Whenever you talk about the virtues of a particular deed, you have a desire to perform that deed because you want to get that reward. And not forgetting, this isn't the Hajj. These are just parts of the Hajj. If this was the reward of the entire Hajj, you'd do it. Well, imagine, this is just one ritual of the Hajj. You get all these rewards. Then another ritual, you get, you think, subhanAllah, every single ritual. Computer failed, okay? You know that they say, the computer is blown up. So again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding and tawfiq to perform this blessed deed again and again by His great kindness and mercy. Ameen. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد سبحان اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصل بالحق ورواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم